I expect others to call in. I'll show it's 10 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and call to order TCEQ Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. Adam, go ahead. This is introductory thing, so you're fine. So I've got Lloyd and Roland on the phone. Any other committee members on the phone?
Mike Ford is on the phone.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, I expect one or two others to call in anytime. We definitely have a quorum. We have Daryl, Bill, Adam, Tim, and Justin here in the room, in addition to myself. So I will, and Adam has temporarily stepped away, but he'll be right back. And I'll just go ahead and, I will skip. I was going to give Adam and Justin some time to talk a little bit at the beginning to introduce themselves, but I will go ahead and say that our public policy, this is not a public meeting per se, but we certainly treat it like it is. So we have we welcome public comments, and you'll see at the bottom of the agenda, we just use kind of a general standard. We haven't had an issue with that in the past, so. Any other general comments from committee members before we get started? All right, since Adam just walked in, I'll let you go second on the introduction. So I'll let Justin go ahead if you'll take a couple minutes just to kind of introduce yourself for the group.
Sure. I'm Justin Hyland with CenterPoint Energy, and I am representing on this committee industry through the Association of Electric Companies of Texas. And to give a little bit of background, I've been working in the property tax field now for 20-plus years. And even though the company I'm currently with does not have a lot of TCEQ-eligible property, in prior career lives with power generation and other companies that I worked with as an employee and also as a consultant, had a lot of experience handling applications and working with the program. So I'm looking forward to getting back into it. It's been several years since I've really worked in the program, but trying to pull upon a wealth of knowledge that I believe I have on this, and looking forward to contributing to the committee and giving our perspective from the industry side.
Okay, Adam.
Good morning. This is Charles Allred.
Hey, Charles.
Thanks, Bob. Adam Haynes. I'm with the Conference of Urban Counties, and I guess my experience with the program is that I was a staffer with Speaker Laney when Senator Armbruster passed the bill and came over, and at that time it was Chairman Chisholm. But it's been a long time since I've hands-on or done any work with it, familiar with the program, and tried to do some reading. So looking forward to learning from everybody, and
looking forward to see what we can do together.
Okay. I heard Charles call in. Anyone else on the committee that hasn't indicated their attendance yet on the phone? That's fine. They'll break in if anybody else calls in.
Greg Maxim.
Oh, hey, Greg.
All right. Hey,
we definitely have a quorum. So the next item on the list is just what I'm calling an orientation. It might be a little bit too much of a term there, but it's just a quick overview for both of the two new members. And as a reminder for those of us that have been on the committee for quite a while, and I won't read all of this, but I've got a one-pager that came with the agenda. And I'll just quickly, there's a reference there,
Bob,
of course.
Just to let you know, Mike Massey's on the
phone. Oh, good. Hey, Mike. Hey. Gotcha. We just started the overview part of this for the new members. So, of course, the Constitution allows tax relief for pollution control, and the law, 1131, actually provides details for 1131. And I'm not an attorney, by the way, so I want to just clarify that. This is a very much a layman's description overview. So, and property owners with positive use determinations also are required to file with the appraisal district where the property is located. So that's kind of the very quick background of the overview of that. So the expectation of committee members is, one is, you see that we got we are to advise the commission regarding the implementation of this section, meaning 1131. So that's our primary function, and we try to keep all of our activities within that focus, which is we don't get into individual applications. We don't go there because we try to stay at a higher level at the rules and regs or compliance of implementing the program. So the committee bylaws also require a few things. It also restates the purpose, which is very much aligned with the law. The term is staggered 4 years. And I remember the first time we were here that we I think picked numbers out of a hat or something, and there was six of us, roughly half of us got 2-year terms, roughly half of us got 4, and that's how we started staggering that. So now you have staggered terms. And attendance is required, and if you miss more than 3 consecutive regularly scheduled meetings or more than half of all the regular scheduled meetings in a 1-year period, you're automatically vacated. That's according to the bylaws. So be careful about that. And we're pretty flexible about, you can call in, you're considered attending the meeting. So if you're, there can be excuses, of course, but that's, so we're pretty good there. Any other TCQ staff, I'm kind of looking at you guys. Any other quick orientation that we need to provide for the two new members? Okay. We'll go forward and welcome to our committee. The next item is election of 2020 chair. And you'll hear what I say every year, which is, I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to solicit anything or have any other agenda. However, I'm available, and that's, I'll just put it that way. And I'll just leave that open to others, and I will not be offended if someone else wants to lead. However, it's generally good. Well, I'll just leave it there. So do I have any comments? I'll open for discussion now. I scared to say anything? That's fine. I'm not offended. Anybody on the phone? You still with us?
Yeah.
All right. We're taking nominations for our chairman of the committee.
I nominate you, Bob.
Okay.
Second.
We have a nomination as second for Bob Adair, for the record. Any other nominations? No offense will be taken if there are. Okay, hearing no other nominations, we'll call for the vote. Those in favor of Bob Adair to chair the 2020 Advisory Committee, say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Okay, you've got me again then. So we'll now review the revised or the draft annual report for 2019. I noticed a couple of what I'll call cosmetic issues with it, and I'll certainly revise those. Those are at the bottom of page 6. I got, for some reason, it says error bookmark not defined. I'll fix that. And a spacing problem. And I'll tell you, every year I have a challenge, and this is in compliance with the bylaws, and the bylaws require us to indicate a usefulness of the committee. And I look for reasons or some indication of the usefulness of the committee, so I just found some comments from the commissioners. And if any of you guys have any other suggestions of indications, I'm very much open to that. But I realize this is primarily for a quick read by the commissioners, and it's, of course, in compliance with our bylaws. So any comments? Review.
I apologize. This is Cyrus Reed. I was at the dentist, which means I can barely talk, but I'm calling in now.
No worry. Cyrus, glad to have you.
Yeah, I'll probably, I might drug up that way, but it might not be worth it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it's Adam Haynes.
Yes.
As the rookie on the committee, I just had a couple of questions, and it might be for staff, or actually it's for anybody, because y'all all know it better than me. It seems that the draft that we have in front of us is less comprehensive than the previous annual reports that are on the websites. And specifically, the point that I would like some information on is the cost of the program. In the 2018 report,
Adam, can I clarify something right quick?
Sure.
This is an annual report of the advisory committee. There's a separate annual report of the program.
Perfect.
That TCEQ does.
Perfect. See, I knew y'all would have more information than I did. Okay, then on that note, when it comes to the cost of is the 425 hours the estimate, is that staff's time just staffing this committee?
Right.
Is that the estimate? Okay,
right.
Perfect.
Right.
And in the program's annual report, will we get a breakdown of the cost of will those be included into the cost of the overall program, or how are those costs
I'll let
assessed?
Them answer.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Sartain with the Actual Leave Program. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
The annual report for the program generally talks about types of applications received and numbers and the associated fees. Does that answer your question? It doesn't really break out the time we spend with the advisory committee. It's sort of the program as a whole.
Okay. One of the things that I see in the statute is that one of the jobs of the committee is to recommend or to give advice or to at least comment on the cost of the program. And so if we're not tracking the costs of the program, for instance, I see in the 2018 report, while the Tier 3 applications are the most comprehensive, the ones that take the most staff time, you only got about $20,000 in fees for those applications.
does that cover the cost of the program?
Speaking for myself, I haven't done an analysis of that, but I believe Donna's going to help me out.
Donna Huff with the Air Quality Division. So we do collect fees for the various tiers of applications that we do. We also, through a rider every session, get funds that cover to pay for staff, to pay for travel, for instance. And you new folks might know this, but you can submit reimbursement to us also for your travel to come and attend the meetings. So we get the rider money that covers, and we get the fees associated with the various applications. So we have enough money to run the program. Typically, we don't spend all the money that we get in the rider.
So the roughly $293,000 that your fee appropriations cover the cost of the program?
The rider money is what we use to pay staff and pay everything. But yes, when you look at the rider and that, we have enough money to cover the program.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
I think your question might be, is just the fee money alone enough to cover the program?
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't believe that it would be. It's the rider that gets us where we need to be, and then the fee money it is also a part of it. When we collect fees at the agency for various different applications throughout the different media.
But the rider is a fee receipts. Did I misread that?
Yes. But the fees, when they come in, we don't use them. I think I'm not doing a very good job of explaining. When the fees come in, we're not using those. Those are going into an account, and then later, through the rider, we get the money to administer the program.
The fees go into a general fund, in effect, and then allocated back.
I'm going to agree, general fund, but I don't know if it has a specific fund name. Like, we have the different clean air funds and a variety of funds, but yes. And then the money comes back to us in the form of a rider to administer the program.
Okay, here's my specific question, and I don't know if you do the finances for air quality, but my specific question would be is that I can look back in the annual report for 2017-2018 and see that the fees collected in basically that biennium were somewhere in the neighborhood of about $500,000. I didn't go back and check the appropriations. Hadn't done my homework. I didn't go back and check your appropriations. This next biennium, you were appropriated basically $293,000 in fee receipts to operate the program. Do you expect to collect $293,000 in application fees to cover that appropriation?
I'll actually have to go back and get with program staff and folks in Building A to see how much is actually collected. I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
But we'll get that for you.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions or suggested revisions, additions, deletions? Other than the cosmetic things that I mentioned. You'll notice I had a letter, a draft letter that goes with it. Any concerns? So I'm laying all this out in front of you to let you know this is what I'm planning to provide to the commissioners or submit to the commissioners, and unless the committee tells me otherwise. Okay. I don't know if we necessarily need them. Go ahead.
I'm having trouble speaking, but you're referring to the letter that lays out the decision that was made on the Herzigs. Is that what you're referring to?
It's a draft letter that's intended to go with the annual report.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're talking about that. Great. Thanks.
It's pretty straightforward. It looks very much like last year's letter.
Yeah.
All right, do we have a motion on this?
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve.
Second. I'll second.
Second.
We have a second. Any additional discussion? Any comments from the audience? I should have opened that up earlier. Okay. Hearing none, we'll call a vote. Those in favor of approving the draft annual report with the minor cosmetic revisions, say aye.
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 Those opposed, aye. No. Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is status of the pending revised rules. So not just the Herzig rules, but I understand the rules that we submitted at the end of 2018, I think we're going to roll. My understanding was you're going to combine those.
This is Nikki Clark.
Or consider those, sorry.
We do not have a decision made yet on those items. But if and when, we can pass that information along to you guys.
Okay, so is the timeline within 2 months, 6 months, roughly? Do we know when you?
We're still working on it.
Okay.
So we just don't have a decision yet.
Okay, if that's as close as you can get.
Okay, this is Darrell Attaway. Are you saying that you don't have a decision on some of the Herzig discussion or just the overall rule package in general?
We do not have formal approval to move forward with the rulemaking yet.
Donna Huff, Air Quality Division. Nikki's right. So there's a process when we do rules that staff work on the rules, and we route that in a concept memo up to the executive director. And we're in that process, so we don't have official approval to move forward with the rule. But Bob, you referred to is yes. I mean, from the staff level, what are we considering are things such as the HRSICs that we just went through. And I think there were like 11 items from 2018 that mm-hmm. we normally.
Tier one?
Yes, for tier one. So those are things we're considering. But it's all in the process of the agency has a process to get all rulemaking approved in a very formal manner. So once that's done, they'll be able to talk more about the packet and the process and the timeline.
I know you're reluctant to, and I'm not trying to tie you down. I'm just trying to get a general idea. Is there a goal to have this in front of the commissioners by December, September, or this year, or next year? Or
I think the last timeline I saw had us finished from proposal to adoption all before January 2021.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I've got another question then. If the rules have not been set or agreed to or finalized, we're already seeing approvals of HRSICs, some of them that were under litigation. Can you tell us what's going on there?
So with the remanded HRSICs, we were under, so those were remanded back, and then the state Supreme Court made their decision that we had to act on those. And so what you saw is we acted on the remanded ones as we were required to by the court. And any more about that litigation, I'm totally going to ask Don to come bail me out.
Okay, so I mean, we haven't set the rules for the ones that are going forward, though, I guess is the point. Because we're in the process of doing inspections on facilities now, new tax season, and we're hearing from taxpayers, oh, great, now that we've got this, we're going to go out and file for our HRSIC exemption. So just wanting to understand, if nothing's been agreed to yet or finalized, where's that information kind of coming from? Because there's a perception out there that something has been agreed to and ruled on.
Okay. So you have the remanded ones. We've acted on those, and we've let those applicants know the percentage they're getting. Then y'all helped us move forward with the path for future HRSICs. And that's the rulemaking we were just talking about, and we plan to do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to look at Walker probably. I know we've had conversations about, in the meantime, what happens to someone that comes in with a HRSA application, right? I think that they can apply, and they would be reviewed in the same manner that we reviewed the remanded applications. And so there is that window where folks are going to come in and present their case just like the remanded ones did until we get that rule final with the proposal of, I believe it was 65%.
So that, which raises a question, because she just threw out a term of 65%. And this may be a question for Lloyd. Did the staff receive the minority report?
You hear me? We did not receive a minority report.
Okay.
And I would also comment, it was 65%, right? I want to make sure I had that number
correct.
Right.
Yes.
And, of course, the rulemaking process has us go out to proposal where we will receive public comments also on that number and then have to come back before we can go final and address those concerns and comments.
So the intent is... Go ahead.
On the ones that are under litigation, are you able to present to this group... some sort of summary of what decisions were made, if you don't have it today, but maybe at the next meeting about, did you rate them at 65%, or was it based on some kind of tier three, or how did you make that determination?
Okay. So we had to use the applications that were in front of us, and we can get a summary of that. The numbers ranged, I'm actually trying to remember, a lot of them were in the 40%, 39. Most were 30 to 40-something percent. There was one above the 65% that was recommended by the committee. Again, we used what was presented to us in the application. And I think anything further than that, we can put together and get out to you because we've notified all the applicants at this point.
Cyrus, I think that was you. This is Darrell Attaway. The ones that we've seen come through our office, industry was given what they asked for, and they range from 40% to 75%.
Okay. So this.
My caution to staff on ones that weren't under litigation but come forward in the meantime is, there's a proposal from the committee that wasn't universal. We had two different numbers, basically. And the rule has been finalized, and there'll be public comment, and the commissioners, we don't know how the commissioners feel, so I would caution just against assuming that 65% number is going to be what's eventually adopted in the rule before we've had the rulemaking. I know it was a recommendation from a majority of the members, but I just, ask you to consider that if you get those applications.
Donald, just to clarify, I think I know the answer, but the intent of having this to the commissioners by January 2021 is so it'll apply to the 2021 tax year?
I think, yes, that would be true, but the whole thing was just trying to take your decision and act as expeditiously as possible, knowing that we have requirements for the public comment period and then responding. And, I sort of envision that during the public comment period, I imagine there would be also maybe comments from the committee or different folks from the committee that we would want to address. So the timeline was put in like that. If we're final in, before 2021, then yes, that would be the new rule that would be in place for folks applying that next year in 2021.
Yes, okay. All right. Any other questions while Donna is here?
Now, this is Roland here, but can you tell me about applications that are coming in today? What's going to happen to them for tax year 2020?
So first time I asked, have we gotten any HRSC applications in? And we have not. Those will be reviewed in the same manner that we reviewed the remanded ones. Under current rules.
So a determination letter will go out for 2020 on those properties.
Will you repeat that, Roland?
A determination letter will go out on those properties. If they get an application tomorrow, a determination letter will go out, so the appraisal district will be able to... and the entities will be able to handle those currently. They won't have to accrue money for or come back next year and have a two-year whammy. Is that correct?
We would process those applications as we process any other applications. So, yes, they would get a use determination. Now we wouldn't wait to issue that or those.
Any other questions?
One quick question. When you say that they'll be looked at under current rules, that's also taking into account the Supreme Court decision. So it's current rules plus the guidance from the court that there needs to be a positive determination. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I don't want to move too quickly through this. It has some interest. Any other questions? Okay, then we'll move on. Do we have any old business that needs to be brought before the committee? Any new business? And I don't put TCQ staff on this. Oh, go ahead, Nikki.
I was just going to introduce Guy Hoffman. He is our new section manager. So he'll be here at meetings with us.
Welcome back, Guy. Any other new business? And I will just say it was obvious that we were very busy last year, and I'm not looking for busy work. That's just me as one member talking. But of course, we're open to staff's, TCQ staff's advice or comments on something, anything we should review.
Not at this time, I don't think.
I vote no. You're going to make a motion.
For those of you on the phone, Cyrus just walked in.
I can't feel half of my face.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
It looks fine.
Any other business? Any other comments from the public? We do appreciate attendance from the public. Any interest? All right, we'll give you an ample opportunity for anybody to speak. Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
You have a second? All right, those in favor to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
All right.